We're finishing up tonight our reintroduction into the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh after the summer break, and we're going to be starting Mitzvah Shem next week to learn inside the Svarim of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov is quoted on different topics, Tefillah and Eretz Yisrael and Emunah and so on. In the meantime, we're finishing up the discussion we began. That we began last week, we were talking about what exactly was the chiddush. What is it that changed with the Baal Shem Tov? What was the essential difference in the Derech Baal Shem Tov, in the Derech Baal Shem Tov from all of his predecessors? And we spoke about there being two basic periods in Avodas Hashem throughout history: the period of the Birurim. The Birura means the clarification, rectification, refinement, and so on, so we're going to talk about more tonight. And then the period of the Baal Shem Tov that introduced a taste of what's going to be when Mashiach comes, that's called the period of Yichudim, of unifications. And what that means, the Birurim and Yichudim, we spoke about, as far as the simple person was concerned, on the simplest level, we spoke about fission and fusion, as you recall, that there are two ways to unleash energy. One is by the process of separation, and the focal point of the Avodas Hashem before the Mashiach, before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and before the days of Mashiach, the focal point is to do what's right, to simply separate between good and evil, separating between good and evil with the strong emphasis being placed on more on being medakdek, being careful to every single halach of Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to the inner core and the inner essence of what Yiddishkeit means. And this is something that, although of course always the great people, the Gedolim, are always in touch with that deeper component, nevertheless, the Hamoinam, the simple Jews, were mostly concerned with doing right as opposed to what's wrong, separate between Tov and Ra. Mashiach came, the Avod of Yichudim, which is the essence of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching. The Avod of Yichudim is to, instead of running away from evil or focusing on evil, the Avod of Yichudim is to try to find the good that exists in everything, at every single moment of life, and how to draw, instead of taking apart, but how to unleash the energy by drawing by drawing everything together. And we spoke about that by Riches, and we said that we need to learn a little bit inside the Tanya to understand this properly. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to do a piece from the Tanya and a small piece to follow that up from the writings of Rav Kook. So in the Tanya, this piece that you have in front of you is from the Igeres HaKadosh. The Igeres HaKadosh that's printed in the Tanya, Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter. If you have a chance to look at the entire chapter, it certainly is Kedai. We're going to learn the last third of the Perek. It's one of the longer chapters in the Igeres HaKadosh. But here, the Baal Tanya is discussing the difference between the Tkufa, our period now, of Olam Hazeh, this time during which the Shekhinah is in Galus, the Divine Presence is in exile. The Zohar describes the time before Mashiach, the time that we're now in, and this is what the Tanya is picking up on, if you see on the top line of the page, as Zmana de Ilana de Toivara Shalta. This is the time that the tree of knowledge of good and evil rules over the world. We're now living until Mashiach in this period when the tree of knowledge of good and evil reigns. It rules over the world. Now, what does that mean, and how does that affect us? So we were talking last week about our main avoda, our main service of Hashem, being the avoda of birurim, of separating between good and evil. So this is what the Tanya explains here. Obviously, there are some concepts in almost every parak of Tanya. There are concepts that are Kabbalah, and I'm not going to explain those. So we're just going to talk about the part here that on a level that we're able to understand for people like ourselves. So the Baal Tanya writes, "Dahainu b'zman," at the top of the page, "Dahainu b'zman golus ha-shchina." At this time that the divine presence is in exile, the exile of the divine presence doesn't mean that, God forbid, Hashem is not here, but we see that in this world, the question of why is it that wicked people seem to prosper in this world, and why is it that the lie continues on and on and on. So in the state of Golus HaShechinah, the Divine Presence is in exile. She is kivyochel, almost forced. Again, Hashem is not forced to do anything, but Hashem has created the world in such a way where she is mashpas, The divine presence is mashpas lechitzonim, that she gives life even to those kochos that are against Hashem. That's one of the greatest tragedies of the Golos HaShechinah. If you look in the famous Sefer Tomer Dvor by the Ramak, at the beginning when he discusses the Tomer Dvor, which discusses the 13 midos of Hashem, so in the first two midos of Mikel Kamocha Nosei Avon Vafesha, who is like Hashem that he carries, that he bears, that he carries the burden of sin. Which, if you look in the Ramak there, the understanding of that is that there is no greater humiliation, degradation of Hashem, that here, during this time, before Mashiach comes, this time in Golus, not only does Hashem allow evil to persist, but He sustains the existence of evil. He sustains evil. Because nothing could exist without Hashem giving it life. So Hashem sustains a world that is opposed to Him. And that is why the Ramak says that Hashem is called Melech Aluv, a degraded, an oppressed king, that Hashem has made the world in such a way where he actually, until the end of time, so that we should have free choice, and so on, as per, you know, all the Ramchal Svarim, so we have free choice. And in this world of free choice, when the divine presence is in exile, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil is ruling, so the chitzon, meaning the kochos that are not holy, are receiving sustenance as well from the Shekhinah, from the divine presence that's in exile. But let's see how that really applies to us. So he says, Shem will keep us no gesha erev rav yonki misham umitam sisan nizayin tamin chacham begolus vazik avaydis adam. Now, this is where we begin to see what we need for now. So he writes, v'oz, during that time, ikar avodas adam, what is the most important essential avoda of the Jewish person in the world during the time of Golus? V'ikar esek haTorah v'hamitzvus, and the main point or objective in studying Torah and Mitzvahs, hulavarer hanitzotzos, is to separate the sparks, meaning to separate between Tov and Ra. That a person is living in a world, as I mentioned last week, which the Ariya Kodesh, in the words of his famous student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, describes as a world that is a little bit of good, miutoi Tov, v'rubai Ra. Most of the world we see is Ra, is evil. Most of the world is evil. Most of the world is not concerned with holiness. And there's only a little portion of the world that still cares about Kedusha. And in that confusion, the main avoda during Golus is for a Jew to separate between the Tov and the Ra, to distinguish and define the Tov, and to turn away from the Ra, from the evil. And we said that until the Baal Shem Tov, that was almost entirely the focus of all of Avodas Hashem. Kenodim HaRizal, as it's known from the HaRizal, Achen Iker Inyan HaLimud, therefore, the greatest emphasis in the study of Torah throughout all these years was what? Who will be Iyun Upilpul Halacha B'Shevahetetum of Tahara, was, and remains, this is until Mashiach, this is now as well, that the main type of learning that takes place in Golus is the learning of what? Pilpul. Pilpul means primarily, I have a confusing set of facts, and I have to determine what is us and what is mutter. All of learning. What's all of learning? What is the halacha? And how do I reach the halacha? I reach the halacha by separating between Tov and Ra. By separating between what's right and what's wrong. What's tamei, what's evil. The tumah belongs to the realm of evil, the impure. And tahara, and holiness and purification belongs to the realm of Kedusha, of all that is holy. So all of our learning is to separate between what's permitted and what's not permitted, what's aser, what's mutter, what's aser, what's tummy, what's tahar, and so on. All of learning is this process of weeding out the good from the bad. And therefore, where did the process of Talmud begin? It began in Bavel. Right, it says in Eicha that Hashem placed us in the darkness, like people who are dead. That's called Chazal say that's the Talmud Bavli. That's the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud. Bavel, which itself means confusion. The word Bavel, Babylonian, means confusion, as we saw in last week's parasha. It means confusion. So where did the Talmud Bavli, which records all the machlokas and Abaye and Rava, Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, all the differences of opinion, which were all for the singular purpose of detecting the good, removing the husk of that which is impure, and making and clarifying this is not good and this is good. That's what the whole Talmud Bavli is about. And the Talmud Bavli is a product of what? Of exile. It's a product of our exile. Because that is the essential avod of the exile. Do what's right, find out what's right, detect what's right, and reject that which is wrong. Therefore, as we learned last week, until the Baal Shem Tov, and throughout Golus, until Mashiach. We'll see what the Baal Shem Tov began to work on something to give us a preview of the end of time. But the avodah of the Jewish people in Golus is primarily focusing on Sumei Rav Asei Tov. Avoid evil, go away from evil, and do what's right. Using all of man's intellectual facilities, faculties, right? That you need chachma. Chachma is the ability to discern, to be able to tell what's right from what's wrong. This is the entire derech of Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. Hamlu Beshes b'Malchus the Yitzir. Again, I'm not going to explain the Kabbalistic terms right now. And he makes a distinction between so the Mishnayis and Brises and Lubosh b'Klipas Noigah Shekenegel Olam Yitzir Sheshamaschel B'Chinas Adas Shebenoigah and the Brises and Lubosh b'Klipas Noigah Shekenegel Olam Asiyah Sheshamaschel B'Chinas Rabbis Shebenoigah. In other words, what the Tanya is talking about here, I'm just going to explain generally, not specifically. That there are different levels of Torah Shebal Peh in the study of the oral law. Those who are familiar with oral law know that there are different levels within oral law of Mishnayos, and you have Brises, and there are Tosefta's, and each level of Torah Shebaal Peh requires a different type of refinement and avoda to discover the holiness and to take it out of that which is impure. And each level, therefore, of Torah Shebaal Peh is connected to the refinement and purification of a different level of evil that exists in this world. Okay, but we don't have to know exactly how those work. That's not for now. Kenoidim HaRizal is all taught in the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh. And the Tani was very careful. He never wasted a word. He said, the one who has intelligence will understand that this is truly a wonder. It's a great wonder. Now, when a person is sitting and learning, so anybody who sat in the Bais Medrash and has learned, and you're learning, you know, you spend. One of the questions I'll always get from people who are new at learning Gemara is, you know, I spent the last 3 weeks learning this whole long involved thing, and then it came out that the Gemara comes to the conclusion that all that was said before is not the halacha, you know, doesn't apply. Or I was learning the Rosh and the Ran and the Rif and the Rashba and the Ritva, and then I learned the Rambam and I learned the Mishlo Melech and I learned the Lecha Mishnah, and then I went to the Beis Yosef and I saw this Machlokes, the Rishonim and Achronim, and until I finally came to Shulchan Aruch, and I come to Shulchan Aruch and say Yeshayim like this, Yeshayim like that, and there's the Ramah, and then you look at this Machlokes, there's a Taz and there's a Mogen Avram, then you look at the Mishnah Brewer's Machlokes, Mishnah Brewer and Rav Shulchan Aruch, and so on and so forth, then you get to the Tshuvas, there's Rav Moshe, there's Rav Avadya Seif, and so the person who's new to all this will say, "Well, somebody please just stand up and tell me what to do." Right? Can I please have the conclusion of all of this? And people wonder how Rabbi Shlom for thousands of years you're not doing this, like for thousands of years, the you know, like back and forth, and this one says this one says that. In the secular world, this is absolute lunacy. This is not how one studies in the secular world. Therefore, if you would take a secular person or a non-Jew into a Beis Medrash or a Lahavdil Jew who never saw learning, you take him to Beis Medrash and you see people screaming and yelling at each other. It's sugar. It's totally uncivilized. Of course, in university, everybody's very civilized. Except after class, right? But at least during class, I mean, it's very civilized. So you come into a Beis Medrash and people are screaming and yelling and, you know, and this one says, "You shaita, you idiot," and there's nothing personal. But what is that? What kind of a limud is that? And the whole learning is, I think that perhaps this is what the halacha. No, it's not the halacha. And we go like this back and forth. So Tanya says this is a truly wondrous thing. And after I first learned this, many, many years ago, when I first learned this, it gave much more meaning to sitting in Bais Medrash, because, you know, you begin to wonder sometimes. But, you know, what are we doing here? So the Tanya explains, this is called the Avodah of Birurim. This is exactly what we were talking about last week. This is the Tachlis of Golus, which means what? So the Tanya writes, when I'm trying to come to a conclusion, I go through the entire process, the process of coming to the final halacha, which is the way that a Jew should learn. The way that a Jew should learn is we start off with, you're supposed to start off with Tanakh, Or you're supposed to start off with the Mishnah, and then you work your way through the Mishnayos and through the Braises, and you work yourself through the Gemara, and Rashi and Tosfos, and then you go from Rashi and Tosfos, you look into the Rosh, you look into the Ran, you look into the Rif, into the Mefarshim, and you look a little bit in Rishonim, Achronim, then you go to the Tor Beis Yosef, you learn Shulchan Aruch, until finally you come to the Halacha, and the Halacha takes 10 seconds, this is the Halacha. Right, there's halacha. You spent 2 weeks till you got to those 10 seconds. So you think, what a waste of time. I just want to have the conclusion. Right? I want to have the conclusion. So he says that, so Tani explains that every time a Jew engages in that iyun, in that learning, in that way of iyun and pilpul, when you're doing that, he says, until you come to the halacha, mashahaya behelam davar kaidim ha'iyun halaz, that before you engage in that type of learning, the halacha was concealed. The greatest level of learning, and unfortunately not all the yeshivas are learning this way, I mean, there are very few that do learn the way that we're supposed to be learning, which is what the Gro was screaming about, and is what the Shalom was screaming about, and the Maharal was screaming about, that we should learn Aliba de Hilchasa, meaning what? The way that I just described, that one should preferably learn Gemara to come to the final halacha, not just to have discussions, but to go through all the discussions, but the tachlis of learning Gemara is to come to what? The halacha. The halacha, lately that's becoming, Baruch Hashem, more popular. It's becoming more popular, and then you find the newspapers that advertise halacha koilos, and it's becoming more popular. But, you know, that's because we're getting closer to Mashiach. And you'll see why. When we get closer to Mashiach, the emphasis is more on the halacha koilo. But throughout all the years, they never advertised, like, you know, Krakow in 1750, halacha koilo. There was no such thing. They learned pilpul. They learned pilpul, and the Maharal was screaming before that. The Maharal was screaming that we have to come to halacha, leave the hilchasa, leave the hilchasa. And the pshat and the gemara, the pshat, and Reb Chaim Brisker made tremendous advances in that. In Brisker, the Reb Chaim Brisker, the whole, what the Brisker, what Reb Chaim did was that he clarified, he would take an entire gemara and he would show you that they're two mahalchim. You know, instead of being lost, like when you're learning Pnei Yeshua, you learn from Yannis Naibishis, you're thinking of 50 different mahalchim in the gemara, and you lose, Reb Chaim said there are two halachas here. So all of them are arguing about, there are two basic approaches to this gemara. These are the two approaches. That's what Reb Chaim did. This was something that the Rishonim already instinctively were dealing with, but we got, over the years of Golas, as Golas intensified, the pilpul was adding up, and more and more discussions, and then as we get closer to Mashiach, so the Rabbi Shalom is already, the period of Yichudim is beginning. What's Yichudim, remember?
Bringing back together.
So Reb Chaim, and then his great and awesome student, Reb Shimon Shkop, and the other great Talmid Chacham of this previous generation, as we're getting closer to the Yichudim and the Rogatchov, that they began to clear, to get out of the woods of Pilpul, and to say, this is the Sugya. Yes. And then you have a man like, you know, I don't know if Rav Amiel, how many of you heard of Rav Amiel? Rav Amiel was one of the biggest students of Rav Chaim Brisker. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was the one that beat Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik to the rabbinate of Tel Aviv back in the 1930s. So Rav Amiel was a huge Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a sefer called Acheke Lemidas Halacha, where he shows that all of Torah Sheva'al Peh can be broken down into 13 logical svaras. Two big volumes, you can't get them, they're out of print, I have one of them, I looked for many years. But the two big volumes to show how all of Torah Sheva'al Peh can be understood using basic svaras, these basic logical svaras, that any Gemara you learn anywhere in the world can be understood based upon one of these svaras. And this is something that would never have been written, could not have been written. Could not have been written hundreds of years ago. Because as we're getting closer to Mashiach, we're getting closer to the period of Yechudim is beginning, and that's what the Vilna Gaon was doing also. That's what the Gaon was doing. The Gaon was involved all the time in Yechudim. In what? In clearing away the halacha, clearing away to get to the halacha. That's what the Bir HaGro does on Shulchan Aruch. The Bir HaGro on Shulchan Aruch is unbelievable. In one sentence, the Gro is telling you the whole sugya until it came to this halacha. And that's why in most recent times, Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the last thing that Rav Kook was writing before he died, you know, Rav Kook was a tremendous makubal. He was a gain olam, and he wrote shuvas, he wrote things, he wrote his svarim, the Iris HaKadosh, the unbelievable things, but the last thing he was working on before he died was he sat with a gemara without any svarim in front of him, just a gemara, and on the side of the page he was writing down all the Shulchan Aruch on that gemara. the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. In other words, the Ein Mishpat. Now we have quite a few Rambams. It's called Birur Halacha. What Rav Kook was working at the end of his life, that he saw that as the most urgent thing that needed to be done, is that when the boys are learning Gemara, they should see on the page, they should see the Halacha. Where does the Gemara go to? But this process of Pilpul and Iyun that we're engaging in still, to come to the final Halacha, to go from the Pasuk in Tanakh all the way through till the Halacha Psuka, the Tanya writes that when you're doing that, when a Jewish person does that, that he should know. Ki al yedei zeh, with 6 lines, 7 lines up from the bottom of that page. Ki al yedei zeh ma'ala halacha zuma haklipas. He is extracting this piece of holiness, this halacha, is now being extracted from where? The husks from the shells, meaning from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Until now, that halacha was sort of submerged in confusion. And when the Talmud Chacham sits there by himself in some bismedrash somewhere, who knows, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's answering and he's coming to this halacha, and he's drawing it out from the Gemaras and back and forth with the Pilpul Rishonim and Acharonim, and he comes, this is the halacha l'maisa of how a Jew is supposed to act under these circumstances, then he is taking that piece of tov, of good, from the tree of knowledge of good that was in the confusion of good and evil. That's what he says, that were concealing, they were hiding it, that it wasn't known, or perhaps it was known, the halacha, but it wasn't properly understood, it wasn't clarified, it wasn't, in other words, even within the halacha there were concepts that weren't yet refined, the idea wasn't yet, it wasn't presented in such a way that it could be comprehended in a clear way. Because the reason, the deeper reason of a halacha is the mystery of that sphere that's called Chachmi La, the supernal wisdom. That in that cataclysmic event that's called the shattering of the vessels, that there are pieces of holiness that come from the supernal highest wisdom of Hashem that fell into all the lowest places of darkness. That's the mystery of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they're in Golas. That's why you see that when did we get the Torah? We took the Torah and we got the Torah after Mitzrayim. Then in Egypt is also one of the world centers, for whatever reason, it's discussed in the Kisari, but it's not for now. I spoke it once on Shabbos HaGadol. That Egypt is the, Mitzrayim was one of the world headquarters of holiness that was entrapped in impurity. Therefore, the Jewish people had to go into the depths of the 49 levels of impurity, into that horrible, miserable world of ugliness. Bnei Yisrael had to go there in order to what? To leave Berchush Gadol, with the great Rechush. The great Rechush means the great wealth that we took out of Egypt. What did we take out of Egypt? We got the Torah in Har Sinai. So through the darkness of Egypt, we came to the Torah. Through the darkness of Bavel, we came to Torah Shabbat Peh, we came to the Oral Law. That even the malachim, even the angels don't have a clarity when it comes to the chachmah of Hashem. The wisdom of Hashem and his deepest levels hidden from the angels as well throughout these years of Golos, until that Talmud Chacham, that Jew is sitting there in yeshiva, even a simple person, he's trying to learn the Gemara, and he comes to the halacha, this is the Gemara, this is the pshat. And that process is the process of separating, of birum, of weeding, of clarifying. The Iyun and the Pilpul of Torah. V'zesha kosa b'raya mehimna. That's what it says in the Zohar. Shakushi himi sitra d'ra. That when you have a kasha in learning, when you have a kasha, a question, a kasha doesn't mean a question, it means a dilemma. When you have a dilemma in learning, that comes, the Zohar says it comes from sitra d'ra. What does that mean? From the side of evil. In other words, you're learning something and you're happy that Shem's Torah is beautiful and this is telling you how to live, and all of a sudden somebody has a kasha. Uh-oh. Akasha throws you back, a question. I told you many times, Akasha, Rabbi Nachman said, Kufshin Yudal stands for Shema Hashem Kaliyakra. Hashem, I'm calling out to you. I'm in trouble. I'm stuck. I'm in a bad place. That's what Akasha is. Akasha. Even though they say in the yeshivas, nobody ever died from Akasha. But that's not true. Many people died from Akashas. Because Akasha exists, the dilemma, the question, there are Akashas that exist on many levels. But Akasha, where does Akasha come from? How could it be that God's Torah is not clear to us? How could it be? How could it be God? The Baruch Shalom didn't give us a clear picture of what to do. Well, the Teretz is that's what Golos is about. The Shechina of Hashem is in Golos. And we have Kashas. We don't just have Kashas on the ground. We have Kashas Kivyochel on the master of the world too. Well, who doesn't have a Kashas? Well, only person that doesn't think doesn't have Kashas. If you think, you have Kashas. That means you don't die from a Kashas. You have to have a Muni. You have to have faith. But the Baruch Shalom has engaged us through these years of Golos in the process of answering a Kashas. of asking a kasha and fumping the kasha. That's what it means to ask a kasha. And when the and when the Rebbe comes into the class, and comes to the Bismedrash, and he says over Shir, and then there's going to be that sharp fellow in the third row, and says, but Rebbe, what about? So it throws the Rebbe back, right? That means that there's something that's unclear in Hashem's Torah, because he asked a question. That means there's something unclear. And then the Rebbe with the fellows is going to struggle, right, in that sugya. And then as a result of the sugya will be clarified, and what will shine by the end of the sugya is Dvar Hashem Zuhalacha, the Word of God. But Hashem Davka puts us through that. It's not, people think that this is like a misfortune, it's a great misfortune that we learn that way. It's not true, that's our greatest pride and joy that we learn that way. That's the Chochmas HaTorah, it's a religious event when you're learning. It's a deeply religious event. When you're asking a kashan, there's a teretz back and forth. You're involved in the process of clarifying the tov and the ra, of birurim, of separating between good and evil. You are mamish fixing the sin of Adam who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. To find the good amidst the evil. Since the Rebbe brings from the Zohar that akash is evil. It's evil. Akash is evil. But from the evil will come something much better. The evil challenges. The evil is challenging you to understand the Gemara on a deeper level. And there's svarim that, like, if you look, even in the, amongst the Rishonim, when it comes to learning Tanakh, if you learn the Abarbanel, so Abarbanel will ask 10 questions, right, on the subject in Tanakh. He'll ask 10 questions, and the questions are unbelievable. Sometimes you're disappointed a little bit here and there with an answer, but the kashas are unbelievable. The Malbim does the same thing, right? The Malbim will ask you the questions. He'll ask the questions. And the kashas, like, they when you look at the kashas, you have a chalishas adas. You know, like, how is this ever going to be resolved? Hashem's Torah is being attacked. Hashem's Torah is being attacked. And then one by one, when you read the Abarbanel's Mahalach, you read the Malbim's Mahalach one by one, boom, boom, boom. The kashas fall. The evil is cast away, and the toiv and the good shines from Hashem's Torah. And then someone will ask on the Malbim, and Echanami. You ask on the Barbanel, that's the beauty of learning.
What do you do with Teiku?
Teiku, which we spoke about, you know, Teiku means there's unresolved evil in the world until the end of time. It's a reminder that there's something that only the master of the world himself can clarify. Eliyahu Navi can come clarify. And we spoke about the whole need of Eliyahu Navi's total attire.
Meaning that not every kashya has a teiku.
Yeah, not every kashya has a teiku. Not within the realm of our present time, of this time of the Golus Hashkini. Remember, I once told you that I gave a whole talk about this on a Shabbos, that when the famous trip that Rabbi Nachman Breslover took there to Israel, it was a whole tumult. You know, when he was in Tveri, he went hidden. He went incognito, and then when he got there, they all knew about it. And Rabbi Nachman was there, and there were all kinds of unbelievable things that happened while he was there. So they made a big suda from him. The Talmidei Baal Shem who were in Tveri, that's where the Talmidei Baal Shem were living. They settled in Tveri. So they had a whole, they were huge Talmidei Chacham, and they had the famous Rabbi Nachman, the Baal Shem Tov's great-grandson came. He was a young man, and he sat there with all the Goyim, the geniuses, the Chassvadim came, all the Chacham came, and they made him a huge Kabbalah Spadim. They made a big party to greet Rabbi Nachman. At the time that they were sitting there, so one of the great Tzaddikim asked the question that, you know, we have a Kabbalah that Eliyahu Navi is going to come, and when Eliyahu Navi is going to arrive, so there are certain questions in Halacha that were unresolved, which Rabbi Yaakov just mentioned. So we have a Kabbalah, Tishvi Taretz Kushvi Abayis, that he's going to resolve these things. But more importantly, that Eliyahu Navi is going to come, and there were certain amounts of money that were kept, right, like an escrow, Yehimun HaChashiv Eliyahu, and Eliyahu Navi is going to decide the halacha. So they asked, Mehecha Teisa, how is it possible that Eliyahu Navi is going to decide? Eliyahu Navi is one person. Eliyahu Navi is one person, and where does it say that Eliyahu Navi is, and you need Adam, you need witnesses, you need, what's Eliyahu Navi going to say who was right and who was wrong? You need Adas. So they asked this kasha, they were going around the table, what kind of a resolution can Eliyahu Navi bring? If you have arguments going on between people throughout history, you need Adam, you need... So, Rabbi Nachman was the only one that didn't say anything. And they were all going around the table, and everybody's saying all these complicated things, and it wasn't going. So they were waiting for Rabbi Nachman, so he was quiet a long time, until they asked him a few times, and Rabbi Nachman said one sentence. Rabbi Nachman said, What kind of kash is not a kash? The point is that when Elyon HaNavi comes, it says that there will no longer be sheker, there will only be emes. That means the person who was lying will admit. When Elyon HaNavi comes, the person will say, I'm going to tell you the truth, fellas. This is how it happened. Right? So Elyon HaNavi is going to bring about the ultimate clarification. The ultimate clarification is going to take place through Elyon HaNavi. And that there are many reasons for that, and I almost every year I've spoken about that in Shabbos HaGadol. Over the years, I like to talk about that Indian. But this whole process of clarification, this isn't a b'deavid. This isn't like, oh boy, we lost. Like a lot of people, if you ask a typical person, says, why are you arguing over this Gemara for the last 2 weeks? So they'll say, because you know we went, it's because we lost a lot of information we don't know, and so on. They'll try to say a pshat and this, a pshat and that, the Rambam. That it's this is something that the Rebbe Shlomo Lechatchila put into the world. L'chadchila, what I mean to say is after the Eitzah Das Tovara. I don't mean L'chadchila at the beginning of the creation necessarily, but this is what we're working with in Golas. So he explains, V'hine, the last line, V'hine hal yoinim ein b'ham k'rech levara u'lahalois, next page, u'lahalois mi'ashvira shebeklipas naiga, the el yoinim, the malachim, the angels, do not have the ability to do this. They don't have the ability to bring out from the fallen, shattered vessels to detect that which is holy and to separate and to reveal, to elevate the holiness that's caught up in the midst of the tomb. They don't have the ability to do this. Just us here in this world. Because only human beings, only here in this world are we enclosed in the physical body, which is what? Which is mashka the chavai, which is the skin of the snake. This is the realm of good and evil. We're in the realm of good and evil. And in this physical world, we have this task of bringing about this birur, this clarification. So the Rebbe is saying that you should know that every single time, any time you're sitting and learning something, and you try to figure out that, you know, sometimes you become a little bit, you become a little bit frustrated and you just want to, you know, to take some English book that tells you what you have to do, right? Or to quickly to look it up someplace. But every single time that in your mind, intellectually, you're able to separate between what's right and what's wrong, what's usher, what's mutter, what's tamei, what's tahor, that's what the Rebbe says over here. You are dealing a blow to the other side. To the side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the evil is diminished. The evil is diminished. And you're breaking the Shavuos Taivus, Viskafi Sidrapis Podopoli, and you're making it easier for somebody someplace to overcome his desires, to overcome temptation. Because if you're weakening the power of evil in the world, if you're making it less of a kasha, you're decreasing, you're diminishing, you're bringing about a matzav, a situation where the kasha, the question, the dilemma has in God's Torah has become somewhat softer, or on some level is resolved. Then there's going to be a Jew someplace that can't decide what to do with his or her life and struggling with a taiva, who knows what kind of a desire, and could be drawn into the most disgusting evil. But if you were sitting someplace, maybe some address someplace, and figuring out a piece of Gemara, that Jew is going to get out. That's not a small thing. That's not a small thing. Remember back in 67, even Moshe Dayan, who you know was not a person who had any great fondness for religious Jews or for Torah, When they wanted to make a mandatory draft for the yeshiva brachim, you remember Moshe Dayan was against it. Moshe Dayan was against it. That was that superstitious part of him, which we call the nefesh elokis, the godly soul. He was a yid. That said, no, I like to have the fellows in yeshiva. No, when it came down to it, Moshe Dayan got nervous that now the new generation is, you know, much bigger mechutzah from the Moshe Dayan. But he was a mechutzah, but he understood, somehow he understood, that generation of Israelis, they still saw, they still knew something. He felt that even though he was screaming and yelling about the yeshivas, they're not going to the army, the yeshivas, but when it came to the milchama, when it came to the war, he said, oh, leave them there, that's all right. let them learn. I like to know that they learn. And that's why we have a Kabbalah from B'dit Shiva, who received it from where he received it, and it's brought down in Kedushas Levi, that when you see that there are a lot of wars taking place in the world, that's a sign that the Jews are not arguing enough over their learning. Because when they're screaming and yelling and fighting in wars over learning Torah, that means that in the physical world there aren't going to be wars. There'll be much less wars. That's what it means. So we understand that for each individual Jew, there are not only a military battle, but in terms of a spiritual battle. That when you know, you think that you have some people that they might be talented enough to go and to draw other Jews closer to Hashem. They talk to them and talk a little bit about this philosophical concept and give it, you know, and they have more of a koch in that way. But then there's another fellow who doesn't have that ability. I'm talking about the guys that are going through yeshiva or the girls when they're studying Torah. So one might think that, listen, I don't have this ability to mekarif people. I'm not a good communicator. I'm not so good at that. I'm shy. I'm uncomfortable. So what's your job? So they think that so you would think, if you look at the world just through physical eyes, that person is not being mekarif anybody. It's simply not true. Any single time you try to figure out something in God's Torah, you're being mekarif another Jew to Yiddishkeit. You're bringing somebody near. Not everybody has the ability to communicate and speak directly and so on. That's not for everybody. But you're sitting there on the train. You take out your mishnayos. You take out and look at some psukim with some mefarshim. And you try to understand this is the truth of God's Torah, this was what was not clear, and now it's clear. Then from that could come that there's a Jew someplace that was stuck in a situation and didn't know what to do and could have been led the wrong way. Can you imagine if someone would tell us one night when we're sitting and learning Gemara, you know, and you're getting, it's like, you know, you're getting tired, and you're learning someplace, and someone would say to you, someone would whisper in your ear and say, listen, Tal, you know, that there's a Jew in a place, someplace in Ireland, that's thinking of marrying a non-Jew. If you don't stop for the next 2 hours and you put your kaiches into it, he's not going to do it. You would scream and yell. You wouldn't stop for a second. No? Who would stop for a second? You're going to save a year. You're going to save a Jew. And that's what's happening on a very deep level, because that's the avodah of Birur. That's what we're doing. That's the clarification. That's the tov and ra, the good and evil, and separating and making it easier for another person to find good. Every time you do that, every time you separate between good and evil, you're making it easier for another Jew to find good. Therefore, when I spoke about last week that until the Baal Shem Tov, the emphasis was on the Birurim, one shouldn't think that was like a Kleinikai. That's why I want to learn this piece of Tanya. And it still is. The Birurim is still what we're mostly working with. What the Baal Shem Tov added to that was and he brought about some transformation, it was the Yichudim, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But the Birurim, the period of the Birurim, of the clarification, of the rectification, that's not kind of Kleinikai, that's not a small matter. That clarification that you're engaged in your little world, and that little piece of Torah that you're studying, is going to clarify the world of some Jew who's lost. That's what the Tanya is explaining. It's going to make it clear for that person.
Is that why it says in Tanya that Billy Yahweh after the Kol HaShoyna Kol Yom?
Exactly why. And that's why it's not enough to think about the halacha. Why does one have to say the halachas? What does it mean, shayna halachas? That when the ikka din of Talmud Torah, which there are poskim that learns likuva, is that you have to say the Torah. In other words, you have to draw that into the olam hasi, into the physical world. When you're thinking, it's a very exalted thought, but the thought nevertheless remains in the Olam Ha'Elyon. And it contains within Oisiyas and Machshava letters of thought. But in order that you should be able to bring about that clarification in this physical world, it's necessary to say over the halacha. And davka halacha. Davka halacha. And why is it that's brought down in the poskim, the Shach and Yerodeya, that when it comes to people who are working all day, that the main Torah that they should be learning is what? Halacha. Why is that? Why is that? Again, not everybody does that nowadays. There are different halachim. I'm not certainly not discrediting any different derech in Yiddishkeit. But what I'm saying is that it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Nisik Kelim Shulchan Aruch, we look in the Shach, and that the Ikka Talmud Torah of a person who's working all day should be, of course, to learn Torah Shavuot, to learn Gemara and everything, but the Ikka is what? Halacha. Why? Why is that? Because he's not going to have time until he learns a Blat Gemara. But why is it the Ikka Halacha? Because what we're learning now is that since learning that comes to that point of Kol HaShayna Halachas, that you come to the clarity of Halacha, Dvar Hashem Zo Halacha, that what? That it's that you're engaging in the process of rectifying the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So certainly a Jew who goes to work and who has to survive the world of good and evil. If you're among those who are zeich to sit in Beis Medrash all day, so Baruch Hashem, you're surrounded by good. You're surrounded by good, right? Maybe there's some guy in yeshiva that took extra French while you wanted, you know, at the table. But mostly it's good. It's Baruch Hashem. It's very good in yeshiva. So when you're in Beis Medrash, you don't the work of clarification isn't as crucial So you have time and you get to the Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. But when a person is working all day, so that person, it's very important that there be that there be a degree of clarity in his study of Torah, not the pilpul, the ian is all fantastic. That's what we're talking about, the process of clarification. But it's very crucial that he comes to the halacha for practical reasons and for the deep reasons that we're talking about. He comes, this is the halacha. You know, like they say the famous thing, you know, Rav Baruch Ber, I mentioned this before in Shulia, Rav Baruch Ber was the biggest lamdan. He was one of the greatest students of Rav Chaim Brisker. So one time he was a lamdan, you know, he wasn't in the halacha. So one time the Rav of Kamenetz had to go away for a few days. So it would have been not nice. He had to ask Rav Baruch Ber to take over, that if anybody has shilas, they should come to Rav Baruch Ber, who was the Rashiv in Kamenetz. Now, Rav Baruch Ber wasn't a student of halacha. He was a lamdan, you know. So it's a famous story that what happened was that the Rav, before he left, he told his dayan, you know, from the court, he said, when anybody comes with a shaila, please stand over Rav Baruch Ber and make sure it's okay. You know, I have to give cover to Rav Baruch Ber, but make sure, just keep an eye on things. So the dayan was the one that told us over. So sure enough, a lady comes in with a chicken, you know, comes in with a shaila, and there was and the Rav Baruch Ber is looking at this chicken, you know, he never saw in his life. I mean, aside from a flegel on a plate, he never saw. So he's looking at this chicken, with his glasses. He's like, he's an interesting person, but he's looking at this chicken. So the dying already saw this, and it's not good. It's not going over here. The way he's looking at it, you know, it's like me and my biology final. You know what I mean? When you have to identify the thing, you know, what is this? So the dying leans over and says, Rabbi, this is the Kerkovan. The Kerkovan, you know, in the Gemara. It's a piece that has to do with the halachas of this. So Rav Baruch Ber was a very religious man. Oh, this is the Heilige Kerkovan? That's the Holy Kerkovan. Because when Baruch Ber used to learn Gemara, he used to always say, the Heilige Rashi is Zog, the Heilige Teisiv is Zog, the Heilige Rebbe, the Heilige Rebbe is Zog. Oh, this is the Heilige Kerkovan, this is the Holy Kerkovan. In the meantime, the lady could have had a tray for chicken, you understand? That's what Baruch Ber said, the Heilige Kerkovan. He didn't, you know, he wasn't learning halachas, the Dvar Hashem Zog halacha. And I remember the Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik said that when he came to America, so he had to learn halacha. So for him that meant, you know, his son said that he locked himself in a room for 2 weeks with Shulchan Aruch, and he came out and the whole Shulchan Aruch was nice and kale. But he said before he came to America, you know, they went to the Rav Paschim, you know, but the big Lamdim looked down a little bit, you know, that the Rav was, you know, the Lamdim was the Lamdim who was involved in the Pilpil and the Ian, he was the elite master of Torah. Right? Dafkin, the Pilpulim in the Yin. So that's what the Rebbe explains, the Baal Tanya explains over here. So, on the, I don't know what the end of the mice is.
They say, doesn't the Helek of Kuchman, the Shaila is Nishkin Shaila. Shaila is not a Shaila, but I still don't know if it's kosher.
Yeah, right? I don't know if it's kosher. Okay. So he did. So he says, now, since the Malachim, the angels themselves, they are not Isaac in this, because you have to be part of the physical world to bring about this clarification. That's our job in this world, which is what we saw at the beginning in Golis. The time of Golis is described as what? The time that the Eitz HaDaas of Tavira is Shailait, is ruling over this world. So therefore he says, therefore we find in Chazal, that Chazal described to us, that the Malachim try to listen to the what? To the Chidushi Torah that are being said on earth. The angels want to hear what's being taught in yeshiva. What's the chiddush in yeshiva? Mashemachadshim u'megalim talumas achachmas ayukvushim megaladata. Because these were secrets of the Dvar Hashem of God's Torah that were hidden in Golas until now that the angels themselves didn't know. The Kol Ish Yisrael, and every single Jew, yuchel legalis talumas chachma, has the ability, has the mission, the responsibility to reveal the hidden wisdom, lechadish seichel chadish, and to reveal chidushim, new concepts and ideas. That's why when Chazal tell us that, Chazal say that any new thought, any new concept, any concept, any new thought in Torah, as Talmud Vosik, that any student of Torah could ever come up with, Moshe Rabbeinu already had it. It was already there. But how was it? It was in a way that was hidden, that was concealed in the Torah, in the Psukim and Tanakh. When you read a Pasuk in Tanakh, I don't know what that means. I don't know what's contained underneath that Pasuk in Tanakh. And then when you learn the Mishnah, you learn the Gemara, you learn the Brayshah, you learn the Midrashim, you learn the Zohar, Kodesh of Chul. So then you see, Sisrei, Talumus Chachma. These are the secrets of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had it all. Moshe Rabbeinu had it all. And that's how the Svarim HaKadoshim explained. How is it that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when he didn't, that he didn't follow Rabbi Akiva's pulpit, the famous Gemara, how he didn't, he himself didn't understand. You remember the Gemara that says that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed a vision of Rabbi Akiva, that he was able to sit in the back of the yeshiva, and he was sitting there, and the Gemara tells us that they were discussing halacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu became very nervous. He didn't know where this was from, this halacha, until Rabbi Akiva said that it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Abor Hashem, it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That's for me. So the Leshem and the other Svarim explain, what does that mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu, how could it be such a thing? And then the answer is, it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, good, it's for me. If it's from him, how come he didn't know? How come he wasn't following the pilpul? How come he didn't know Rabbi Akiva? How come he didn't know the pshat, or he didn't have that halacha? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, again, this is something that obviously is a very big subject in halacha and has to be understood properly, not to be taken the wrong way, that Moshe Rabbeinu had all the information, he had the data, he had it, but in terms of the birur that would take place throughout history, through the Iyun and the Pilpul of Torah Shebal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the Derech HaPilpul and the Derech HaIyun, he had the Tamsis of the Tamsis, he had to concentrate. Well, the very Rabbi Shamshafal Hirsch wrote about it, where he described it, it's like having the notes. There was a lecture that was for three hours, and it was put into, and the whole thing was capsulized in a sentence of notes. So Moshe Rabbeinu had it all, but that it should unfold, and it should, through the pilpul and the ian, that it should know all of its breadth and its depth and its beauty. That's the work of the generations of studying Torah. Ad Hayayim, to this day, to what we're doing this right minute. That's what it is. But it makes it so much more exciting. You think about it. It's so much more exciting. And this is what the Avodah Birurim is all about. It's not just an halacha, it's an agadah too. In other words, not only in the halacha section of Gemara, but when a person is learning that Gadat, in other words, the non-halachic sections of Torah, whatever it is that a Jew is learning. Hain ben Nigla in the revealed Torah, hain ben Nistar in Kabbalah. Kvi b'chin sharish nishmaso, according to the level of the root of your soul. Obviously, you know, we all daven v'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha. Hashem, please let me discover my portion in Torah. Let me uncover the portion of Torah that I have the ability to uncover. Not everybody is a Rav Moshe Feinstein. Not everybody can write. But that person might be able to uncover something that Rav Moshe wasn't working with. And so it is with all the Chacham, and it is with every Jew. So it is with every Jew. You can have a simple vart. You can have that a Jew will say something that will be a simple vart, and will mamish change your life. Change your life. And the guy said, you know, I think maybe this means like this. A simple word, and it could change the person's whole life. And then that didn't come to Vilna Gaon. It didn't come from the Ari HaKadosh. So he had said this, that said a word, a good word. And when he said that, that was a certain chelik of his Torah. It certainly was not as intellectually challenging as anything that would have come from a Moshe from the Gaon. But in terms of its truthfulness, it was a piece of that higher world. It was a piece of the notes, of the lecture. And when that happens, it brings about a birur, and that birur is causing some of the ra of this world to be diminished. And when that happens, the tov begins to shine. And that's the avodah of birur. But all of this is not going to be when Mashiach comes. It's a whole different mahalach of Mashiach, which the Rebbe is going to explain here. Every neshama has a certain amount of sparks of the shattered vessels that neshama is responsible to take care of. That's your garden. You got to tend to your garden. But we don't know what it is. It used to be that, like the Vilna Gaon writes in the Mishlei, in his Biyan Mishlei, so the Gaon says that at the time of the Nevi'im, you'd be able to go to the Navi. Any Jew would come to the Navi, and the Navi would look at you, and the Navi would tell you, this is the Sharish of your Nesham, this is the root of your soul, and this is what you have to fix. So now, you know, now we don't know. How does one know? Okay, well, we discuss over the years, with the Svarim explain, how does one know what his Tachlis is in this world? Within Yiddishkeit, obviously our Tachlis is to keep the Torah mitzvahs, and to try to do what we can. But then you have certain individuals that they're drawn to a certain way of learning, or a certain section of Torah. This, you know, there's some people that they're driven to learn, Moed. This one's a Nezik, and this one's Kachem. Another person, his heart pulls him into Agadata. This one's heart is drawn to Chassidus. This one's to Musa. This one, whatever it is. And Hashem gives us, Ramazim gives us subtle and sometimes not so subtle hints. What is our chelik in Torah that we need to work on? Because in that chelik, our perfection, in that portion, our perfection, our personal perfection, and the tov that we were given, the capacity to redeem from the world of the klipas of impurity, that's our chelik b'seichel kenei b'sar secha. Knoida. Skip the parentheses. Vizesh Kazu Begumar, Kala Isik Betaru. After the parentheses, it says, that's what it means when it says in the Gemara. Kala Isik, but now look, after you learn this little piece of Tanya, how beautiful this Gemara is. Kala Isik Betaru, Amar Kanshbar, Kamal, and Yalav, Kilu Pidani, Vez Bonai, Ben Humus, Ayvde Gululim. The Gemara says, whoever learns Tyra, Hashem says, I consider that person as if he has redeemed me and my children from among the nations of idolaters. From the idolatrous nations. When you're learning Gemara, Hashem says, you're letting me out of prison. You're redeeming my children. That's exactly what I was talking about before. There could be some child of Hashem someplace in Ireland that's making a decision in his life. And you're learning Torah, you're pulling him out. You're mevarah the Torah from the Ra. You're separating, you're clarifying the Torah from the Ra. That process is a process. That process of refining and clarifying is the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I consider it pida'ani. And you are redeeming Hashem. Because in the life of that Jew who's going to somehow find his way out, the Rebbeinu Shlom is redeemed. The presence of the Shechin in his life is clarified. Through your avod of the Birurim in your learning Torah and in your observance of mitzvahs. In other words, the same thing when you're doing a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, like I had one of the boys said this last week in yeshiva. I'm learning with them Masechta Shabbos, and I'm learning with them a certain sugya. I'm learning with them the Indian of Hadlakas Neiris Shabbos, and we're getting into a lot of details. And there's one of the boys is not as sharp as the others. So this boy, like he looked, I saw he's really getting upset. He was really getting upset through the entire, you know, I was going into a lot of things and he was getting very upset. And then he said, you know, he's a very honest boy, I love me. He says stuff that's a little bit inappropriate, but it's because he's honest. So he said, you know, that's what I can't stand about Judaism. I can't stand that about Judaism. What is all these details? Like the details. You know, you do it like this, and you do it like that, and you do it like this, because we're talking about the Zman Hazeh, so now we already have electricity, so then you need to light the Shabbos candle, so you have a whole Machlokes Achronim, so how should you light the Shabbos candle, because we have electricity. So he says, you know, so when he said that, you know, the guys went, hey, no, like the guys, you know, especially the little Sfadish, you know, they're very, they don't like that, you don't have to say things like that, you know, about Judaism. And I was laughing. I really liked it. I said, you're right. It seems like, you know, you're saying what the other guys are thinking. It seems tiresome. It seems burdensome. It seems, well, what do I need this for? What is this? I did it like this. You don't do it like that. You know, you. How do you wash Negevah? I remember when you first start to learn Shulchan Aruch, you come after a couple of simon, when you come after Hilchos Beis Akisa. You ever learn Hilchos Beis Akisa? The halachas of the bathroom. You know, if a Jew begins to learn Torah, they might never come back to learn. You see, the Baruch Shalom, the halacha is there, in the, you know, of the bathroom, and this prat and that prat, every single time. Even if you don't understand all the halachas, you didn't learn the Mishnah Berurah, you didn't learn the Svarah. When you're coming to try to understand, is this the way God wants me to do it, as opposed to the way that God does not want me to do it? Or my minhag, the minhag where I come from, is like this, not like that. Every time it's this, not that. Kain, low. Vashem berachas avim bakol. Bakol means bakoach, kain, low. Right? That any time you make that decision, the proper decision, you ask a shiloh, or you look it up. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, you took me out of Golos. You took me and my children out of Golos. So it's not just with learning. One shouldn't think that it's purely an intellectual activity. It's not purely intellectual. It means, the Avodah Birur means to live a life of Torah mitzvahs, of distinguishing this is right and that's wrong. This belongs in my house, this doesn't belong in my house. When you're doing that, that's what's happening. He says, when you're doing that, it's Kilo Pidani Vez Bonai Mi Ben Umas Oiv de Gelulim. Aval Betseis Ashkinim Eklipas Noiga. Ach, Shiushlam Bira Nitzais of Yufa Rami Atoiv Yisparta Kavlevin. Well, Shalting Lona the Toiv Rabbit says, Atoiv Menah Azai La Yea Esek Atoiv Mitzvahs Lavabi Rurin Kim Liachin Yechudim El Yainim Yaisa. That's what we're up to. In other words, what we're up to now is the Tanya now. What we're going to learn next week is the Tanya now is saying, however, there's going to come a time when this avoda of the Birurim is going to be complete, is going to be finished, and then we'll begin the period of Yichudim Elyonim, of the higher unifications. That's when Mashiach comes. But what we learn is that according to the Tzaddik and the Baal Shem Tov began that in Golus. He began the process of Yichudim in Golus. And that's something that after we finish this piece of Tanya and then the other piece from Rav Kook, I mean, Hashem will have a better grasp of. So we'll continue, Bez Hashem, next week. You could either bring the